Blog Talk Radio.
This might sound scary, but I believe what the Bible says. That's why we all need to be ready, cause we're living in the end. They ask me, what am I doing? I'm keeping my eyes on the sky, looking for the cherished to come.
Thank you.
Israelites, you know what I mean? Be better left to play, you know what I mean?
Until you see and watch TV, open your third eye to what's going on in the world, then everything in that Bible will be clear to you. But see, a lot of y'all want to stay ignorant. Y'all want to stay lost. But I'm only going to tell you one time, I ain't coming back no more. You know what I mean? Your blood ain't going to be on my hands. Better wake up, man, and see what's going on. See what's really, really going on.
I'm living for the cherries in the sky.
About to get real, man.
Waiting on the Most High.
Maybe I'll wriggle.
Cause he said one day, because it looks his people.
Game. Y'all think this stuff ain't real, but if you read your Bible, it'll tell you. It'll tell you the truth. I'm keeping my eyes on the sky, man, because I know what's going to go down. He's going to come back and get his people up out of this captivity, because it's been too long, man. We're going to be kings and queens again. So keep your eyes on the sky. Keep looking up. The chariot's on the way. And we gonna be there, baby. Yeah. Keep your lamps full. The Most High's on the way. With his son, Yeshua. Shalom.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Michael Israel, and well, today's episode, we're going to be diving right back into the Book of Jasher. If you've been following the show, you know we engaged with the Five Smooth Stone yesterday, and, well, we brought out some heavy information. Basically, Hebrew Israelite 101, you know, how can we explain ourselves or find ourselves in the scriptures? How can we prove that black Americans are the Hebrew Israelites, right? Are the very people in the book that we're about to read right now. And we took a jab at that with different scriptures and kind of also hit on, more than anything else, was our little testimony. What woke us up? What type of person were we when we got this truth? And overall, a lot of people's answer was meditation. I mean, when you really kind of get down to it, everybody's answer was basically meditation. Whatever circumstances going on in their lives, they opened up the scriptures, either somebody pointed it out to them or they did it themselves, but they pondered on it, you know? They pondered on it. I'm no different. It was meditation for me, too. But I got to be totally honest. I guess I didn't have a solid doctrine, understanding of what it's all about prior to the awakening. And I think it's because of that that I was more blindly stepping out on faith, kind of like, what I mean, it just, I was like a moth to a flame when I heard it, you know. And I was just in it. I couldn't explain us in the scriptures other than the way he pointed out basically the entire book of Deuteronomy. But other than that, I couldn't explain it. It just, it went so good with the flight of African Americans and their journey through the slave trades in West Africa to scattered all over the world. It just kind of, it just connected the dots for me, okay? But other people, if you listen to them, they took a little bit of meditation before they took that step. Because lots of people, they already had their doctrine. They already had a foundation built up, you know. And this truth kind of rattled their world to a point that they kind of took their time in getting in. And all praise to the Most High that they did. But the show was kind of dedicated to the brothers and sisters who still haven't took that step yet, which to us that's who's awakened, we don't understand why not, you know. But we got to somehow remember when it was foreign to us as well, you know. It's foreign to us as well. And, I want to also say that there's probably a bunch of people that do recognize it. And going into scriptures helped out a lot, enforce what they already kind of know. However, when they turn on social media, all they hear is the hate. I heard one brother kept saying over and over again, kissing boots and things like that. And they don't want to be nothing a part of that. If they're going to be a Hebrew Israelite, they're going to be a whole other way. And I guess they're searching for what type of camp should they be in. Well, I'm not a part of a camp myself. So there's a bunch of folks who's not in camps. They just kind of individualite, I guess you could say. An individual who know that they're Hebrew Israelite, you know? So there's a bunch of people like myself that's out there as well, just letting their little light shine. And that's what this show is ultimately doing. I'm letting my little light shine. I have my co-host, which is my mom, Sister Thel, and we just kind of like letting a little light shine and reading everything there is to know about Hebrew Israelites, you know. So we just kind of bouncing around different books, and we love for you to call in and join us. So far, this show has reached 600 listeners. That's great. That's awesome. We're in, let me pull it up for you right quick. Go to my dashboard right quick. All right. And we are in Brazil. We're in Germany, Japan, South Korea. That number has came up, South Korea. It was barely one. Now it's 2.68%. I don't know what that's about. All right. We're in the UK as well. So that's great. That's great. I'm glad that the internet is, or my show is being listened in around there. But you know what? I really, really, really want you guys to call in that's in those places. 92% of my listeners are in the United States, right? So just those listeners there, I'd love for you to call. Y'all so far away, I imagine it'd be kind of expensive to call. Fall into the show. I don't know how that would work. But if you're listening, I want to say that I salute you. I thank you for listening. You can also chat. I have a chat room. You can also chat and send a message that way. If you want to say hi or anything, just go to Blog Talk Radio Show. Go to the Waking Up Israel link there. Waking Up Israel radio show link, and you can tap into the chat room and send a message that way. So there's a way we can get around it. If you have any questions, you can post them. All right. Okay. So I just kind of want to put that out there, y'all. All right. Okay. So back to the book. All right. Let me go ahead and open up my co-host line. Sister Thea, let me open up your line. You are live on the air.
Shalom, shalom, everyone, and thank you for allowing me to be here to stay and to come to you just as I am. And I want to give all praises to the Most High, and I pray that this encounter that we have today will be fruitful and it be a blessing to you and your spirits. Also, Brother Micah, I wanted to just say that, you know, Brother Seth, and on the other show that we had with Five Smooth Stones, he did ask some very important questions that he said that we didn't answer. And that is something that, you know, for people like me and like all of you who are really just going to want to find out, want to get to know what's going on, you know. Actually, what is really going on? We are in these times that we're in right now. It's all around us. And that is the spirit. That is the spirit of our Lord and Savior. He's here. Whatever name you want to call him, he's here. His spirit is here with us. And it is opening up our minds and our hearts so we are in a position to receive. Okay, so by saying that, Brother Micah, I was just saying that he did touch on a couple of things, and that I actually, you know, what the world needs to know is they just need to know the same thing that we need to know. Who you are. You just need to know who you are and who you are in your journey. Like we are trying to find out and we're learning about who we are in ours. So if you get to know who I am and I get to know who you are, guess what? We're together. And then he's in the midst. I think when he said when one and two come together, then he'll be in the mix. You know, I had to think about that. That's with his chosen people and the others, whomever the others are, no matter what nation. Okay, so he do have a chosen people. Okay, now understand it and recognize it. And if you come to understand and recognize it, then when you two groups agree, okay, guess what? He's in the mix. He's right there. He's there for you and me. Okay, so that's not proper English. But we're not talking about English here. We're talking about sisters and brothers who are here. One is an Israelite. The other is not. They are brothers. They are human brothers and sisters. But you know who we are, and we know who you are, and in the midst of us is our Lord and Savior. He's the one that connects us, and only he is the one that will connect us. So like he was talking about on that show, I took notes, and I'm ready because I think that he's going to come back with a part two, right? Ain't you guys coming back like that and talking about the new covenant too, Brother Michael? I mean, this is what this show is all about, Brother Michael. You're bringing all this information to us, and you're bringing all this wisdom, you and all of the other brothers and everything, and this show can be different. It can be. Find our Lord and Savior and the Most High in any form or shape that we want to edify him up, because you, our sisters and brothers around the world, this spirit that we're sending your way is coming from our hearts. to you. Because that's what we're trying to do. We're telling you that it's okay. It's okay for you to disagree, but let's get some information. Let's talk about it, and you do your research. If you have questions, do your research. Call us. You know, nothing that you can ask can be wrong. It's just because, you know what? Our Lord and Savior didn't turn people away. So who are we? Who are we to do that? Okay, brother, you need to stop me when I get on a roll. You know this. We are not scripted. I am not scripted, you know. I am not. So, Brother Micah, we are in Jasher. And we're going to be talking about Jasher because Jasher gives me a glimpse into our ancestors' mindset that I didn't get from just reading as being in the Christian church. Well, because they teach one subject one week and whatever, and then they're on a different topic, and I just can't keep this. I mean, I was going from one thing to another and to another to where the scriptures did not stick into my mental vocabulary or jargon because I had a job. I had work. I had to memorize things to do at work, and it was a bigger. So you know what I said? I said I was just going to love everybody. And I asked the Lord to bless me on my job so that I can live a life to where I'm of his service. I may not can quote them scriptures, but it's okay. It's the Spirit. It's his Spirit through me. I have a personal relationship with him. You have it with yours. Because like we was talking about the other day, actually it was said, it doesn't matter as long as you know and I know who we talking to. That's a fact. Because our Creator, our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, they know who we're talking to. Believe you me. I can start talking to this wall, and you can see me talking to the wall, but as far as I'm concerned, I may be talking to something else. I could be actually talking to literally something that I think is sitting there that can be, that's listening to me. Could be my angel, my heavenly angel, my guardian angel. So when you have some issues and the Spirit is there with you, it's in you, you can go ahead and talk to the Spirit because it's the one that's going to lead and guide you and bring you understanding because you're going to pray for understanding. You may not get it at the time, but let it just stir and the Spirit will bring those things back to you that you need to remember. Brother, I'm not going to say this again. Right. You need to stop me. Okay.
All right. Can you hear me good now? All right.
I hear you well. Were you trying to stop me earlier?
Were you trying to stop me? I said your name, but I realized I still had my mute on.
Oh, so good. Well, you know what? Wanted me to get that out.
Yes, man.
I don't think there's too crazy. Many mistakes that happen. It happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And I'm just, but he wanted me to get that out.
Yes, man. We got another caller. And I want to introduce the caller. I believe this is Brother Ronald. Area code 936. You are live on the air.
Shalom.
Hey, Brother Ronald.
All right. Shalom, brother. How you doing?
Hey. Hello, how y'all doing? I'm good. How you doing, Cecilia?
All right.
Doing well, thank you.
Okay, yeah. Well, Brother Ronald, you joining us as we read in the Book of Jasher. Before we get started in the Book of Jasher, is there anything on your mind or reflection of the series with the five smooth stones that, because you was there, you witnessed it. Is there anything that's on your mind about that? Now is a good time to kind of get that out. Before we kind of get into the book.
No, not really.
No, you...
I was just...
Okay.
Listen, I was just...
Did you like the show?
Good, Yeah, it was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
All right,
it. It
well, I'm
going
to leave every... Okay, that's all right. That's what we want. Okay, I'm going to leave everybody's lines open. And I'm going to just go to start reading, okay? I believe that we're going to be starting in chapter 66. I believe we stopped in, we finished 65. 65,
brother. Oh, did we finish?
We're in 60. Yes, ma'am.
I put a note. Next chapter, 65, start reading. But you can double check me, brother.
Okay. Let's see here. 65, and it came to pass. Yeah, well, 65, verse 1. I believe it's starting with the Egyptians taking counsel on what to do with the Israelites. And I think they eventually came up with the idea. What's up, brother?
You said you're in 65? What chapter are you in? 65?
Yeah, we're doing a reflection of the past chapters. I believe we're going to start in 66. But right now we're in 65 doing a recap.
Okay. All right.
So I believe what's taking place here is them taking counsel what to do to the Israelites. And I think they came with the solution to throw the babies into the water. Okay. If I'm not mistaken. All right. Okay. And it talks about, 65 also talks about how the Israelites were helping build pyramids, or not pyramids, but the Ramesses, the town of Ramesses, or, you know, whatever projects that was down in that area. And all of a sudden, the Egyptians that were working with them, they started to fade away, and they left the Israelites alone to do all the work. And they became like taskmasters over there. All right. True. And so it just talks.
What chapter you gonna start in? 65. Are you just reflecting?
Okay. Yeah. Just be patient, brother Ronald. Right
okay.
now we're doing a recap.
Okay.
Right now. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. So just basically talking about that and. I don't even see where he was born yet. Okay, and 65 is still talking about how they was how they embittered the lives of the Israelites and with all manner of work, but the children of Israel kept on making babies. And the more they increased and grew, the Egyptians were grieved because of the children of Israel. Okay. And now it's 66 is when Hadad, the son of Bedad, king of Edom, and Salam from Mesoka, from the country of the children of the east, reigned in his place. So it's going to talk about some Edomites and what they all got going on, and a little battle, and they, I guess, going to fight against Israel, Egypt. Okay. Let me go kind of look through 66. Because, Sister Taylor, does this sound familiar to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Did we go that far? Okay.
Yeah, I think we did. All right, then it's 66 is talking about when the Israelite women, when they give birth, they wanted them to kill the son. But let the daughter live.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So we even read 66. All right. So the Israelites, they kept growing. Even they had so much work on them. And so now the next result is all of it is about keeping their population down.
Okay.
Which
so
sounds familiar, right?
Yeah.
So
we're
going
to go with
60. I'm still kind of scanning. But, yeah, so anyways, keeping the population down. All right, that was 66. So So the women, they didn't do what the Pharaoh wanted them to do in 66. And they the Israelites kept on growing. Now in 67, Miriam was born and Aaron was born. And now we know we're going to get to when Moses was born. And the children that was in the field, I guess they when they gave birth, they led the babies in the field. And it's almost like the field raised them up with honey and milk from rocks or something like that. But the kids kept running out the field. Yeah, that's in 67. Okay.
You know, I just think it's more repeating itself. Okay.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. They kind of repeat themselves in those few, because we have read that already about how the children, the field, fed them with, you know, stones of milk and honey, how the Most High preserved the babies and that type of thing.
Yeah, we read
so it now
because we read 67.
Okay.
That's why you
okay,
feel
brother.
Like we read it already.
Okay, well, let's go.
Because I think we already read 67. Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to find it. I'm ready.
I am too. I'm excited.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, right. I know, right? So anyway, after the children running out this field, the Egyptians with plowshares, they kind of went over the field to make sure they can kill some babies. Because apparently the children of Israel is hiding their babies in this field.
Yeah.
Right? So they were trying to, you know, kill the babies that was in this field, right? Because basically what's going on, the Egyptians, the word is out that we're going to kill all your male babies. Y'all population is growing too much for us. And what's interesting about it is that Israel, even though they were upset, they wasn't like, okay, God didn't send us a message to fight against the Egyptians. So I guess, you know, I guess they're not our enemy or something to that effect, I guess. You know what I mean? Because when you look at the children of Israel, they can fight thousands of people with just 100 people. But yet when it comes to Egyptians, they was kind of doing what, like they really wanted to, they looked at that incident with Joseph and Egypt and all the Egyptians as in God was putting them together. You know what I mean? So they viewed the Egyptians as God want us to be together, if that makes any sense. So that therefore they are taking it from the Egyptians when I imagine God probably want them to fight back, but I don't know. They didn't, right? They didn't fight back.
Well, what I get is that the Egyptians was blessed because of the children of Israel. See, when you recognize the children of Israel, you will be blessed. But you have to recognize who they are. They knew they was great. They knew they were powerful. They really feared the children of Israel. But when they got ready to fight, because the other Edomites, or I believe Esau's group, was coming up against them to fight the Egyptians who housed the Israelites, they figured that since they were kinfolks, that we better not trust the Israelites to go out in front of us. They'll deliver us to the hands of their brothers. And so they decided to go out first because they didn't like the Israelites. We'll go ahead and fight the battle, but if we lose, then we'll just pull back and let the Israelites fight their own battles. And since they just a number of 150, they will be slaughtered. You know, so they, like, ran off and left them, brother. So, you know, that's what I'm thinking. I think the Most High blessed those who, blessed the Israelites. And because they were, they grew, and they, because of, you know, Joseph, right? Joseph saved Egypt. Am I right or not?
I think you're a little off. Far as my question goes, why did the Israel
when
not
you said
fight
that, I said they
Egypt.
Were blessed. Okay. Hey, you know, we'd like to be included. I like this because I'm on a roll, brother. Come on now. That's how I'm learning. I have to repeat this for myself so I know I'm on the right page as well. But go ahead, back to your course.
Okay. Yeah. What I'm saying is that these people, this whole other nation, was out to kill their babies.
Yeah.
Okay. And put them in captivity without pay, slavery. But yet there are people who can wipe out 10,000 people with only 100 of them. So they're stronger.
Wait, you're talking about the Israelites or the Egyptians? Who are you talking about?
Just listen to me, Cecile. Israelites are able to defeat big armies. Even when
it's just
a few of them. All right.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that they're living in an empire that is out to kill their babies.
Yeah.
And they're not picking up weapons and going to fight them over that.
Okay. I follow you.
Okay. So I say that to say because they're not trying to fight them like that. What do that probably mean? And to me, that means that they look at that Joseph situation, how it all transpired as God wanted them to become one with Egypt. Do you follow me?
I don't think they're saying that God wanted them to be one with Egypt.
They didn't say
so.
It. That's me guess. That they didn't say that.
I know that's what it's your opinion. I know that's what you said and what it sounds like. But what I think is the fact that that 150 group of Israelites descendants and all of theirs that comes with that, I think they know that they were the chosen people, and they knew their power. And they felt comfortable in that because of Joseph. But over the generations or whatever passed, the Egyptians' descendants and stuff have grew to hate the Israelites because they were jealous, maybe. They knew their power. They knew they had power. Yeah.
That means it's time to fight, right?
The new generations did not like the Israelites.
Did the Israelites like them?
I just said that the Israelites, they was in a different place. They weren't quite, it was on the outskirts of Egypt in the land that was given to them. Okay,
right.
But pretty much under that rule, right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think they were just satisfied knowing that where they were, and they was happy being where they were.
Right, so they're cool with you killing my babies. Totally cool with it.
No, they're not cool with that.
Oh, right.
I just said that they were comfortable because the other was trying to outthink them and they was going behind the Egyptian back. They didn't see it coming, brother. That's what I'm saying. The ones that they worked, that the Egyptian got to work and do things and sneaked out. That's what was happening to us in modern day times. How many times have they pulled the wool over our eyes?
I understand.
You get a promotion, well, give you a promotion, letting you think you did something, and the next thing you know, you think you're in a good place, like those brothers and sisters did, except the Levi tribe. Levi, they did not. So I am saying, brother, I think they was okay with it because the Egyptian treated their brother Joseph good. They was okay with that. The Most High just blessed the Egyptians because of their association with Joseph. That's all I'm saying.
Got you.
He will bless
and
other nations.
I understand that, Ma. I understand. All I'm saying is that once the gig is up and they find out the Egyptian want to kill their babies, I think it's time to fight now.
Well, I think they didn't know.
They didn't see it coming until they finally saw Cousin broke the baby. But when they did
they
saw
let their guard
Cousin
down,
broke
brother.
The baby.
You agree to that, though, right? They let their guard down?
But, Yeah, but what I'm trying to say to you is that once the knife hit the baby throat, now you see that Egyptians don't like you now.
But right? Apparently they wasn't talking to each other. Apparently those Israelites had gotten so mixed up with the Egyptians that they even forgot who they were. And so they was not discussing among themselves, because if they did, they would have followed suit with the Levi group and said, nah, that doesn't sound right. I don't trust them Egyptians. And so we're not going to go for this little bit of daily wages or whatever. We're not going to fall for that. But those Egyptians did, and the Egyptians put them in supervisory levels and had them over other people, and they slid out of that. And all the people that was working with the Israelites, and they all actually came under the hand of the Egyptians. Simple as that. And they all fell into that trap. They had fell into that trap so much that even when they started destroying the babies and stuff, they was already mentally enslaved, because they figured that the Egyptians can do what they want to do because they was the rulers of the land. But they forgot who they were. They had the power all the time. And
that,
the Most High let them do that.
The I think that's the answer.
I just think they was ignorant and they let themselves get caught up in the world, which is the Egyptian world. And I say that to say this. And I say that because I can see how history repeats itself through different situations. I mean, even
I just say that.
Okay, but no, I just think they got misguided. They got misled, and they forgot who they were. And that's why the Most High had those Levites, which are smart. Those
they got
guys
their babies
who
killed, too.
And followed the laws and commandments, and they knew who they were. And the same thing is still happening today.
Right.
Correct?
They didn't fight, neither. Yeah, you're right.
But not about fighting.
Wanna...
Not about fighting, brother.
Okay, I understand. I know. Sister.
I think you and me are both saying the same.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
No, you didn't.
All
say
I'm
it.
Saying.
You don't have to say it.
Okay.
I know, brother.
Well, all
I know.
I'm trying to.
I got excited.
I just want to get my word. I just want to get my words out, Sister. That's all.
Get your word out. Get your word out. I'm gonna mute my.
All right, gotcha. No, don't mute yourself. Just hear me out, okay? I think what you're saying is the same thing that I hear some noise
okay,
in the background.
Okay, I'm going to get that. I'll take care
okay.
of it. Thank you.
All right. But anyway, I think we're both saying the same thing. Either they lost their identity or that they considered the Egyptians as like God wanted them to be with them, you know, part of God's plan. And so when the Egyptians turned on them, they thought it was probably some kind of, you know, divine plan from God, probably. Like, because maybe some bad things that they was doing in the land. I'm thinking to that, what can keep a people not wanting to go to war with a people that's out to kill your male children, right? At the end of the day, that's what me and Sifthill's talking about. And I think we're hitting on the same thing. We don't know. It didn't say. But I think we both, they lost their identity. They had to be. You know? Or if they didn't lose their identity, they must have thought this was God's will. I don't know. Or either the Egyptians were that terrifying to them, you know, and they forgot that God can save them no matter if the odds is 10,000, you know, of them against 100. They can win that fight. They have done it before. So I know that they know that God can be with them in battle. Right? They not too long just got out of a war with Esau when he tried to fight against Egypt. So they are aware that God can be with them in battle and defeat a large number of people. So I that just boggles my mind, but I understand what Sister Dale is saying as well. All right. Sistella, are you still with me? All right. Okay. Let's see. Brother Ronald, are you there with me?
Yeah, I'm just listening. Yeah.
Okay, okay. No, you have no comment on what was said? All right. All right, so.
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Okay, so 68 is when Moses was born, and the daughter of Pharaoh was found Moses in the river, and she got the baby and took the baby in as her own. And Moses' mother was there to breastfeed the baby, right? And all that went away because went down because the Egyptians were out to kill the male children, and all these women was hiding their babies. All right, so that's how that all took place. And so there you go. That's the birth of Moses. That's where we ended at. Now, we're going to be starting in 69, so I was way off. All right. Sister Thel, are you there yet?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, all right. We're going to get started in chapter 69.
Okay.
All right. Let me type it in the chat room. Chapter 69. All right. Okay. All right, I'm ready to go.
Did he say something about that too? I might have missed him.
No, no.
Whatever. I was. Okay. All right. Well, let's dive right on in there, Coach. Okay.
All right.
It's all
good. Yeah, it's all good, Cecile. All right, here we go. And the king of Edom died in those days, in the 18th year of his reign, and was buried in his temple, which he had built for himself as his royal residence in the land of Edom. And the children of Esau sent to Pethor, which is upon the river, and they fetched from there a young man of beautiful eyes and comely aspect, whose name was Saul. And they made him king over them in the place of Samlah. And Saul reigned over all the children of Esau in the land of Edom for 40 years. And when Pharaoh, king of Egypt, saw that the counsel which Balaam had advised respecting the children of Israel did not succeed, but that still they were fruitful, multiplied and increased throughout the land of Egypt, then Pharaoh commanded in those days that a proclamation should be issued throughout Egypt to the children of Israel, saying, no man shall diminish anything of his daily labor. And the man who shall be found deficient in his labor, which he performs daily, either in mortar or in bricks, then his youngest son shall be put in their place. And the labor of Egypt strengthened upon the children of Israel in those days. And behold, if one brick was deficient in any man's daily labor, the Egyptians took his youngest boy by force from his mother and put him into the building in the place of the brick which his father had left wanting. And the men of Egypt did so to all the children of Israel day by day, all the days for a long period. But the tribe of Levi did not at that time work with the Israelites, their brother. From the beginning, for the children of Levi knew the cunning of the Egyptians, which they exercised at first towards the Israelites. All right, that's all of 69. All right. Since that was a short chapter, let's go ahead and read 70. And in the third year from the birth of Moses, Pharaoh was sitting at a banquet when Alpernes, the queen, was sitting at his right and Bethia at his left. And the lad Moses was lying upon her bosom, and Balaam, the son of Beor, with his two sons and all the princes of the kingdom were sitting at table in the king's presence. And the lad stretched forth his hand upon the king's head and took the crown from the king's head and placed it on his own head. And when the king and princes saw the work which the boy had done, the king and princes were terrified, and one man to his neighbor expressed astonishment. And the king said unto the princes, who were before him at table, what speak you, and what you say? What speak you, and what say you, O ye princes, in this matter? And what is to be the judgment against the boy on account of this act? And Balaam, the son of Beor, the magician, answered before the king and princes. And he said, remember now, O my lord and king, the dream which thou didst dream many days since, and that which thy servant interpreted unto thee. Now, therefore, this is a child from the Hebrew children, in whom is the Spirit of God. And let not my lord the king imagine that this youngster did this thing without knowledge. For he is a Hebrew boy, and wisdom and understanding are with him, although he is yet a child. And with wisdom has he done this, and chosen unto himself the kingdom of Egypt. For this is the manner of all the Hebrews to deceive kings and their nobles, to do all these things cunningly, in order to make the kings of the earth and their men tremble. Surely thou knowest that Abraham their father acted thus, who deceived the army of Nimrod, king of Babel, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, and that he possesses himself of the land of the children of Heath, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and that he descended into Egypt and said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister, in order to mislead Egypt and her king. His son Isaac also did so when he went to Gerar and dwelt there, and this strength prevailed over the army of Abimelech, king of the Philistines. He also thought of making the kingdom of the Philistines stumble, in saying that Rebekah, his wife, was his sister. Jacob also dealt treacherously with his brother, and took from his hand his birthright and his blessing. He went to Padan Aram, to the house of Laban, his mother's brother, and cunningly obtained from him his daughter, his cattle, and all belonging to him, and fled away, and returned to the land of Canaan to his father. His sons sold their brother Joseph, who went down into Egypt and became a slave, and was placed in the prison house for 12 years, until the former Pharaoh dreamed dreams and withdrew him from the prison house, and magnified him above all the princes in Egypt, on account of his interpreting his dreams to him. And when God caused a famine throughout the land, he sent for and brought his father and all his brothers and the whole of his father's household and supported them without price or reward, and bought the Egyptians for slaves. Now, therefore, my lord king, behold, this child has risen up in their stead in Egypt to do according to their deeds, and to trifle with every king, prince, and judge. If it please the king, let us now spill his blood upon the ground, lest he grow up and take away the government from the hand, from thy hand, and the hope of Egypt perish after he shall have reigned. And Balaam said to the king, let us moreover call for all the judges of Egypt and the wise men thereof, and let us know if the judgment of death is due to this boy, as thou didst say, and then we will slay him. And Pharaoh sent and called for all the wise men of Egypt, and they came before the king. And the angel of the Lord came amongst them, and he was like one of the wise men of Egypt. And the king said to the wise men, surely you have heard what this Hebrew boy who is in the house has done, and thus has Balaam judged in the matter. Now judge you also, and see what is due to the boy for the act he has committed. And the angel, who seemed like one of the wise men of the Pharaoh, answered and said as follows, before all the wise men of Egypt, and before the king and the princes, if it please the king, let the king send for men who shall bring before him an ox, oxen stone, onyx stone, and the coal of fire, and place them before the child. And if the child shall stretch forth his hand and take the onyx stone, then shall we know that with wisdom has the youth done all that he has done, and we must slay him. But if he stretch forth his hand upon the coal, then shall we know that it was not with knowledge that he did this thing, and he shall live. And the thing seemed good in the eyes of the king and princes, so the king did according to the word of the angel of the Lord. And the king ordered the onyx stone and coal to be brought and placed before Moses. And they placed the boy before them, and the lad endeavored to stretch forth his hand to the onyx stone. But the angel of the Lord took his hand and placed it upon the coal, and the coal became extinguished in his hand. And he lifted it up, and he put it into his mouth, and burned part of his lips and part of his tongue. And he became heavy in mouth and tongue. Okay, so he picked up the coal. Oh, okay, gotcha. And when the king and princes saw this, Moses, when he was a baby, picked up the coal instead of the onyx stone. He started to reach for the onyx stone, but the angel of the Lord guided his hand, and he ended up picking up the coal and put it in his mouth. He ended up burning his lips and tongue.
Yeah.
And when the king and princes saw this, they knew that Moses had not acted with wisdom in taking off the crown from the king's head. So the king and princes refrained from slaying the child. So Moses remained in Pharaoh's house, growing up, and the Lord was with him. And while the boy was in the king's house, he was robed in purple, and he grew amongst the children of the king. And when Moses grew up in the king's house, Sathia, the daughter of Pharaoh, considered him as her son. All the household of Pharaoh honored him, and all the men of Egypt were afraid of him. And he daily went forth and came into the land of Goshen, where his brethren, the children of Israel, were. And Moses saw them daily in shortness of breath and hard labor. And Moses asked them, saying, wherefore is this labor meted out unto you day by day? And they told him all that had befallen them and all the injunctions which Pharaoh had put upon them before his birth. Got some noise, y'all. And they told him all the counsels which Balaam, the son of... Okay, I might have to mute some lines, y'all. Hold on, let me...
Just go ahead and mute us.
All right, let me go ahead and just mute you. Okay. All right, everybody's muted. Okay, where did I leave off at? Okay, 36. And they told him all that had befallen them and all the injunctions which Pharaoh had put upon them before his birth. And they told him all the counsels which Balaam, the son of Beor, had counseled against him, and what he had also counseled against him in order to slay him when he had taken the king's crown from off his head. And when Moses heard these things, his anger was kindled against Balaam, and he sought to kill him, and he was in ambush for him day by day. And Balaam was afraid of Moses, and he and his two sons rose up and went forth from Egypt, and they fled and delivered their souls and betook themselves to the land of Cush, to Kikinas, king of Cush. And Moses was in the king's house going out and coming in. The Lord gave him favor in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants and in the eyes of all the people of Egypt. And they loved Moses exceedingly. And the day arrived when Moses went to Goshen to see his brethren, that he saw the children of Israel in their burdens and hard labor. And Moses was grieved on their account. And Moses returned to Egypt and came to the house of Pharaoh and came before the king. And Moses bowed down before the king. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, I pray thee, my Lord, I have come to seek a small request from thee. Turn not away my face empty. And Pharaoh said unto him, speak. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, let there be given unto thy servants the children of Israel, whom are in Goshen, one day to rest therein from their labor. And the king answered Moses and said, behold, I have lifted up thy face in this thing to grant thy request. And Pharaoh ordered a proclamation to be issued throughout Egypt and Goshen, saying, to you, all the children of Israel, thus says the king, for 6 days you shall do your work and labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest and shall not perform any work. Thus shall you do all the day, as the king and Moses, the son of Bethea, have commanded. And Moses rejoiced at this thing which the king had granted to him. And all the children of Israel did as Moses ordered them. And for this thing was from the Lord to the children of Israel. For the Lord had begun to remember the children of Israel, to save them from the sake of their fathers. And the Lord was with Moses, and his fame went throughout Egypt. And Moses became great in the eyes of all Egyptians, and in the eyes of the children of Israel, seeking good for his people, Israel, and speaking words of peace regarding them to the king. All right, that's the end of 70. And we're going to take a little break. Let me go ahead and kind of clear my throat and stuff. And, yeah, we at the halfway mark also. So let me play a little song, y'all, and we'll take a little break, all right? I want to play a song that's kind of uplifting. Moses is born, and the Most High is with him. And, how about we play truth music? Yeah, I haven't played that one in a while. Let's play that one. open up everybody's line. All right, anybody want to reflect on Chapter 70?
Well,
yeah, I do.
I just wanted to say, go ahead, brother. Please.
Go ahead, Brother Ronald.
Okay, and verses 45 through 47.
48,
I mean.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Can you read that?
Oh, read it again? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
45 through 48.
All right. And the king answered Moses and said, "Behold, I have lifted up thy face in this thing to grant thy request." And Pharaoh ordered a proclamation to be issued throughout Egypt and Goshen, saying, "To you, all the children of Israel, thus says the king, for 6 days you shall do your work and labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest and shall not perform any work, thus shall you do all the days, as the king and Moses, the son of Bithiah, have commanded." And Moses rejoiced at this thing which the king had commanded, have granted to him, and all the children of Israel did as Moses ordered them. Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to note that now we can see that the Sabbath day have been changed. You know, because I think Lyndon Johnson was the one that issued the change for the Sabbath.
Hold on. Brother Ronald, you said that it's been changed?
Yeah, the Sabbath day has been changed. It was changed from Saturday to Sunday.
Oh.
What was the guy named?
Oh, okay. That's the Council of Nicaea. The Council of Nicaea?
But it was a guy named, what was the guy that changed it? I forget his name. But, I forgot the guy's name that changed it, but it was changed. But I'm just noting right here.
Yeah, you're talking about the king of Rome, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm just
right,
I'm
know
it's
been
gonna... changed. Yeah.
Oh,
that's all,
okay,
that's all
that was your point.
Say.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Was...
All right, I get it. Yeah, I understand.
They were keeping
seven
back then.
Yeah, 7 days, and on the Sabbath they rested. But it didn't say exactly what, you know, how it worked, you know. And the reason why I'm saying it like that is because that's controversy amongst Israel. There's some brothers and sisters, well, they go by the moon and things like that. And they believe that that was the true way of doing it. And then some of us, we do the 7 days, but yet we're going by the Greco-Roman calendar and doing the 7 days. So I just kind of want to, you know, just kind of throw that out there that, you know, we're divided on that. But it's definitely six days you work, and on the seventh day you rest. So if you're going by the moon or the calendar, either which way, it got to fit that formula. Right? It's a total of 7 24-hour days. That's the formula. You all right? Okay.
He was just talking about that was Constantine the Great that issued that first civil Sunday law.
Yeah, Constantine.
He was the one that did that, Brother Michael. And Brother Brunner. So I was also looking that up and to see who actually, you know, what he did was he made it a law. So whether you're Israelite or whoever, Constantine made it a law for everyone to follow. It's just that different religious groups celebrated, like you said, brother, the moon or whatever. But as far as the law of the land through this king, you know, they set that in record. And they even have the date on here, March 7th. A.D., 321.
Yeah, 321.
There you go. That's just history. That's just a little bit of history. Everyone can do their research on that to see. Just look up who changed the Sabbath day to Sunday. And the internet will bring up you several different areas you can go to.
Right.
That'll help you
right.
with
that's
that
why a lot
brief history. Yeah.
That's why a lot of people go to church. That's why a lot of people go to church on Sunday today. You know, because
yeah.
it was changed. It was changed back then,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, the Catholic Church, uh-huh. I believe they got Sunday worship started. And all these other churches are breaking off from the Catholic Church into these little denominations, but it all begins with the Catholic Church, you know.
And
right.
you're talking about the...
Okay, go ahead, Sister.
And you was talking about the moon and all that, and I believe it was the Catholic Church also that believes in all of these angels as gods and all these other things.
Yeah, but not like,
mystical stuff. Hmm?
Yeah, but not like, I mean, Israel was, yeah, Israel.
Well, you know, I just know they put some of their saints up as saints and stuff, and they worship them like goddesses and stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I hear noise in the background, y'all. Is that
well, you
is
can
that
mute us if you like, brother. Nope. Oh, brother.
Okay.
You can mute me, though. I don't mind.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. All right. So that's that. All right, y'all, let me get back into it. The chapter 71. And when Moses was 18 years old, he desired to see his father and mother, and he went to them to Goshen. And when Moses had come near Goshen, he came to the place where the children of Israel were engaging in work, and he observed their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian smiting one of his Hebrew brethren. And when the man was beaten, saw Moses, he ran to him for help. For the man, Moses, was greatly respected in the house of Pharaoh. And he said to him, "My Lord, attend to me. This Egyptian came to my house in the night, found me, and came to my wife in my presence. And now he seeks to take my life away." Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Oh, that's messed up. He came to him in the night and bound him and then took his wife, and then now he wants to kill him. Man, the Egyptians are out of hand. All right, verse 3. And when Moses heard this wicked thing, his anger was kindled against the Egyptian, and he ran, turned this way and the other. And when he saw there was no man there, he smote the Egyptian and hid him in the sand, and delivered the Hebrew from the hand of him that smote him. And the Hebrew went to his house, and Moses returned to his home, and went forth and came back to the king's house. And when the man had returned home, he thought of repudiating his wife, for it was not right in the house of Jacob for any man to come to his wife after she had been defiled. Okay, hold on. I missed something. Let me read 5 again. And when the man had returned home, he thought of repudiating his wife, for it is not right in the house of Jacob for any man to come to his wife after she had been defiled. And the woman went and told her brothers, and the woman's brothers sought to slay him, and he fled to his house and escaped. So that man went and was about to beat her up for getting raped. And she went and told her brothers. Okay, now her brothers come through and gonna kill her husband, their sister, their brother-in-law, right?
I'm sorry,
okay.
I have to read over it again and get a good understanding. I didn't quite understand.
You want me to start over?
I mean, yes, I'd like to get some understanding of it.
Okay.
Someone the man ran to Moses for help. Is that correct?
Yeah, you want me? I'm going to read it again.
Start at the first chapter 71.
Yes, I'm going to start at verse 2. And when the man who was beaten saw Moses, he ran to him for help, for the man Moses was greatly respected in the house of Pharaoh. And he said to him, "My lord, attend to me. This Egyptian came to my house in the night, bound me, and came to my wife in my presence. And now he seeks to take my life away." And when Moses heard this wicked thing, his anger was kindled against the Egyptian. And he turned this way and the other. And when he saw there was no man there, he smote the Egyptian and hid him in the sand and delivered the Hebrew from the hand of him that smote him. And the Hebrew went to his house, and Moses returned to his home and went forth and came back to the king's house. And when the man had returned home, he thought of repudiating his wife, for it was not right in the house of Jacob for any man to come to his wife after she had been defiled. And the woman went and told her brothers, and the woman's brothers sought to slay him, and he fled to his house and escaped. All right? What'd you get from that, Sistel?
Well, he fled to his house. I'm not sure if that was separate. His house is separate from hers. Unless he followed her because she went to her brothers for help. Because he came to defile her. He came to beat on her or to take her after she was defiled.
No,
you know,
yeah,
like she got raped.
Right.
And so she ran to her brothers,
right.
And he probably followed her to hurt her. And then when that came down, he went back to his own house.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Okay, but you got the idea what just happened, what just transpired, was when he got home, you know, she's been raped and he still, you know, was hard on her, you know what I'm saying?
And she left and she ran away. She went to her brother's, yes.
Yeah, and her
she
family
left her
didn't
home
like
and went
the,
to, yeah.
And our family apparently didn't like how this man handled the situation,
yeah, the situation.
With
yeah.
his wife being raped. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
they thought it was
yeah.
just killing him. You know what I'm saying? killing
because
him.
He was
no
trying to kill her. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just beating her. But I think he wanted
I
to kill her.
I imagine he was doing worse. He probably said she's good as dead. Yeah.
Mm.
They treated women really bad back in those days, yeah.
Okay. Verse 7. And on the second day, Moses went forth to his brethren and saw, and behold, two men were quarreling. And he said to the wicked one, "Why dost thou smite thy neighbor?" And he answered him and said to him, "Who has set thee for a prince and judge over us? Dost thou think to slay me as thou didst slay the Egyptian?" And Moses was afraid, and he said, "Surely the thing is known." So what Moses thought he did in secret, that Hebrew, as they was fighting, revealed to Moses that they know what Moses did by killing that Egyptian, you know. And Pharaoh heard of this affair, and he ordered Moses to be slain. So God sent his angel, and he appeared unto Pharaoh in the likeness of a captain of the guard. And the angel of the Lord took the sword from the hand of the captain of the guard and took his head off with it, for the likeness of the captain of the guard was turned into the likeness of Moses. And the angel of the Lord took hold of the right hand of Moses and brought him forth from Egypt and placed him from without the borders of Egypt, a distance of 40 days' journey. Okay, hold on. So when that must have been a really big deal, these guys fighting, and they must have said it real loud where everybody heard.
just put Moses on blast, right? And some of the guards went and told Pharaoh immediately that Moses done killed an Egyptian. Pharaoh already, just as soon as he heard it, gave the order for Moses to die, you know what I'm saying? And, and then the angel of the Lord pretended to be a guard and flew another guard, but he made the guard look like it was Moses, all right? And I guess that pacified everything where everybody wasn't looking for Moses. I'm thinking that's what happened. So what do you think, Lucille? Okay, let me open
I think
up.
He, I think he.
Go ahead,
open up, brother. I was just saying that the Most High bought time, so he can get Moses away from there. And to me, it sounds like if Pharaoh was going to kill Moses, he ended up killing that guard that looked like Moses. And he thought that they had killed Moses.
Right. That gave him some time, bought time for Moses to escape.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think it would eventually be revealed that it wasn't Moses, I'm thinking. You know what I mean?
I think when Moses came back, I think they realized he was alive. When he came back to Egypt, I think they realized he was alive.
Okay, gotcha. All right. So, okay, where did I stop at? I stopped at 10. Okay, here come 11. And the angel of the Lord took hold of the right hand of Moses and brought him forth from Egypt and placed him from without the borders of Egypt, a distance of 40 days' journey. And Aaron, his brother, alone remained in the land of Egypt, and he prophesied to the children of Israel, saying, "Thus says the Lord God of your ancestors, throw away each man the abomination of his eyes, and do not defile yourself with the idols of Egypt." And the children of Israel rebelled and would not hearken to Aaron at that time. And the Lord thought to destroy them, for it not that the Lord remembered the covenant which he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In those days, the hand of Pharaoh continued to be severe against the children of Israel, and he crushed and oppressed them until the time when God sent forth his word and took notice of them. All right, that's the end of 71. All right. Let's go ahead and knock out 72. I think 72 is going to be our last chapter still. And it was in those days that there was a great war between the children of Cush and the children of the East in Aram. And they rebelled against the king of Cush in whose hands they were. So Kikianus, king of Cush, went forth with all the children of Cush, a people numerous as the sand. And he went to fight against Aram and the children of the East to bring them under subjection. And when Kikianus went out, he left Balaam, the magician, with his two sons to guard the city and the lowest part of the people of the land, and the lowest sort of people of the land. So Kikianus went forth to Aram and the children of the East, and he fought against them and smote them, and they all fell down wounded before Kikianus and his people. And he took many of them captives, and he brought them under subjection as at first. And he encamped upon their land to take tribute from them as usual. And Balaam, the son of Beor, when the king of Cush had left him to guard the city and the poor of the city, he rose up and advised with the people of the land to rebel against King Kikianus, not to let him enter the city when he should come home. And when the people of the land hearkened to him, and they swore to him and made him king over them,
and his two sons for captains of the army. So they rose up and raised the walls of the city at the two corners, and they built an exceedingly strong building. And at the third corner, they dug ditches without number between the city and the river, which surrounded the whole land of Cush. And they made the waters of the river burst forth there. At the fourth corner, they collected numerous serpents by their incantations and enchantments. And they fortified the city and dwelt therein. And no one went out or in before them. And Kikianus fought against Aram and the children of the east, and he subdued them as before, and they gave him their usual tribute, and he went and returned to his land. And when Kikianus, the king of Cush, approached his city, and all the captains of the forces with him, they lifted up their eyes and saw that the walls of the city were built up and greatly elevated. So the men were astonished at this. And they said one to another, "It is because they saw that they were delayed in battle and were greatly afraid of us. Therefore, they have done this thing and raised the city walls and fortified them so that the kings of Canaan might not come in battle against them." So the king and troops approached the city door, and they looked up, and behold, all the gates of the city were closed. And they all called out to the sentinels, saying, "Open unto us, that we may enter the city." But the sentinels refused to open to them. By the order of Balaam, the magician, their king, they suffered them not to enter their city. So they raised a battle with them opposite the city gate. 130 men of the army of Kikianus fell on that day. And on the next day they continued to fight, and they fought at the side of the river. They endeavored to pass, but were not able. So some of them sank in the pits and died. So the king ordered them to cut down trees to make rafts upon which they might pass to them, and they did so. And when they came to the place of the ditches, the waters revolved by mills, and 200 men upon 10 rafts were drowned. And on the third day they came to fight at the side where the serpents were. But they could not approach there, for the serpents slew of them 170 men, and they ceased fighting against Cush. And they besieged Cush for 9 years. No person came out or in. At that time that the war and the siege were against Cush, Moses fled from Egypt, from Pharaoh, who sought to kill him for having slain the Egyptians. And Moses was 18 years old when he fled from Egypt, from the presence of Pharaoh. And he fled and escaped to the camp of Kikianus, which at that time was besieging Cush. And Moses was 9 years in the camp of Kikianus, king of Cush, all the time that they were besieging Cush. And Moses went out and came in with them. And the king and princes and all the fighting men loved Moses, for he was great and worthy. His stature was like a noble lion. His face was like the sun, and his strength was like that of a lion. And he was counselor to the king. And at the end of 9 years, Kikianus was seized with a mortal disease, and his illness prevailed over him, and he died on the seventh day. So his servants embalmed him and carried him and buried him opposite the city gate to the north of the land of Egypt. And they built over him an elegant, strong, and high building, and they placed great stones below. And the king's scribes engraved upon those stones all the might of their king Kikianus and all his battles which he had fought. Behold, they are written there at this day. Now after the death of Kikianus, king of Cush, it grieved his men and troops greatly on account of the war. So they said one to the other, "Give us counsel. What were we to do at this time, as we have resided in the wilderness 9 years away from our homes? If we say we will fight against the city, many of us will fall wounded or killed. And if we remain here in the siege, we shall also die. For now all the kings of Aram and of the children of Egypt will hear that our king is dead, and they will attack us suddenly in a hostile manner, and they will fight against us and leave no remnant of us. Now, therefore, let us go and make a king over us. Let us remain in the siege until the city is delivered up to us. And they wished to chose on that day a man for a king from the army of Kikiana. And they found no object of their choice, like Moses, to reign over them. And they hastened and stripped off each man his garment and cast them upon the ground. And they made a great heap and placed Moses thereon. And they rose up and blew with trumpets and called out before him and said, "May the king live, may the king live." And all the people and nobles swore unto him to give him for a wife Adoniah, the queen, the Cushite, wife of Kikianus. And they made Moses king over them on that day. And all the people of Cush issued a proclamation on that day, saying, "Every man must give something to Moses of what is in his possession." And they spread out a sheet upon the heap, and every man cast into it something of what he had, one a gold earring and the other a coin, also an onyx stone, bdellium, pearls, and marble, did the children of Cush cast unto Moses upon the heap, also silver and gold in great abundance. And Moses took all the silver and gold and all the vessels and the bdellium and onyx stones, which all the children of Cush had given to him, and he placed them among his treasures. And Moses reigned over the children of Cush on that day in the place of Kikianus, king of Cush. All right. So we got 27 minutes. Anybody got anything to say about that?
Well, I didn't know about that. I didn't know that Moses was made a king. I didn't know that part. But I was assuming it was the opposite, that he went to the land in the wilderness and he took a wife.
We're going to get to that. This is what's
yeah, but this
along
was before.
The way.
Yeah, it was along the way.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. That's right. That's right, Mom.
Okay.
So the Cushite people was already familiar with Moses, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what we're learning right now. That's what we're learning right now. And I can't help it, but I really want to read 73 also. What do y'all say?
What about Brother Ronald?
What do y'all think?
Any comments?
Yeah, and that's very interesting. They don't talk about all this in the Bible, but they took. I'm realizing that they took a lot of stuff out that we didn't know. And when I'm seeing this as you're reading. You can't read this in our canon, first canon.
Right, that's what I think.
You can't read none of this in the first canon. They took a lot of this out because if you go to Joshua 10. In 13, Joshua 10, it says, could you read that, Brother Michael?
Okay, Joshua 10 and 13.
Yeah.
All right, I'm there. All right, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people have avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we know that the books have been taken out. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I don't know where this at in the book of Jasher, but somewhere in the book of Jasher, the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people have avenged themselves upon their enemies. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, is not this written in the book of Jasher? you know.
Wow.
So what that means is that Moses had written what they call the Book of the Kings, which I want to say the Book of Genesis, along with is that what they call it? Just say a Book of the Kings or the Book of the Law or something like that. Anyway,
I believe
so
right.
we found out that Jasher was written after Moses have started writing, you know. But in Joshua, we see them refer to Jasher, right? So that means that Jasher was already written and completed during the time of Joshua. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get
yeah,
what I'm trying to
yeah.
say?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so yeah. Moses, when you look at it, the Book of Jasher is the same as what Moses accounts that Moses had written down. It's just what's different about it is more word of mouth that's been passed down through generations rather than what Moses wrote. But they very close together what Moses written down. I mean, it's so close that you can tell that it's real close to this time period. But when you want to weigh it up, we got to go with Moses, his account, and call that the truth because, you know, it's Moses. We don't know who written Jasher, you know.
Yeah.
So
well, you know, that's one reason my grandfather always told me that always read between the lines because, see, you never know what's between those lines because they're so blank. You know, between the lines, there's like a blank. That's a blank line in there. And you never know what's hidden in there, in that blank. And so I'm just saying that Jasher, and they referred to it in Joshua, Jasher. So Jasher is between the lines. So that's for your mm-hmm. information. If you go looking for the blanks, I think you may find something there. Just like we're finding in the Book of Jasher. There's clues, there are drops. So we have to be able to read our canon, read that, but also know this. He did it this way. Because if you want to find him, he wants you to search for him with your whole heart. He don't want you to just accept anything off of the canon. Do you really want to know who he is? Read between the lines. Look into the blanks. Research. Find him. He's there. He's going to show himself, but he's not going to be found unless you seek him first. He's not going to open the door to your house unless you let him in, unless you open the door and invite him into your house, your temple, your body, your spirit, your soul. I am just saying that...
Yeah.
It just brings to mind this history. I mean, this is just like any other history. Isn't it not just written by someone? But do we distort it, discount it? No. We have to really go in depth and really find out what's what in that. I mean, you know, I don't know. I have to do research. So I'm just saying that, brother.
All right, go ahead, Brother Ronald.
And another thing, we know that Moses was a black man because he was king over the Kishite.
Yeah, I think that's
come on, man.
Why that's left out. Yeah, right.
I'm just reading lines, brother. That's all I'm doing.
Hey, you filling in those blank spots. I know what you're talking about. See, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I'm filling in those blank spots.
Yeah, that was a blank that it's not written, but we have to open up our minds and hearts and spirits.
And if Moses was black, then the children of Israel was probably black.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Ain't no doubt about
gotcha,
that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's Okay, but hey, brother, surprised that that's left out.
I do have another comment question. Maybe you guys might want to just reflect and comment on it. But did we not just read how this counselor advisor went through the history of Joseph? He knew it all. I think that was the Most High. That was the angel of the Lord coming through, giving the history to that king and letting him be aware. But was it the spirit that led him? Or was that one of their own advisors talking to the king? But I wrote a note that to read Jasher chapter 70 over, because there is someone there that is telling the king the history from one to the other. Remember, the Egyptians' descendants forgot who Joseph was. So they started hating on from their forefathers. They forgot how Joseph saved Egypt. So they just started disliking the Israelites and wanted to do harm and to kick them out. But see, the Israelites, they felt like, you know, they have a history there through Joseph in the land. But was there not someone who was able to inform the king of the Israelites' history? All the way from Joseph being sold into slavery by his brethren to the king, just like somebody else knows our history. Yeah. And you think they forgot? Nope, they haven't forgotten. There's somebody always. Their main purpose in life is to keep up with where we are. And they know our history event by event. And they're taking notes. And they are continuing their sources, this chronicle, through the ages, timeline, so they'll know what happened to what happened. And we were the only ones that was in the dark. Because apparently there is someone on that side, the Pharaoh side, that was telling the king all this information about who the Israelites were and what they did and how to harm us and stop us from becoming who we are and how to keep us down. So isn't that not like history repeating itself, but only with different patchwork, you know,
right.
A different path and stuff. It's amazing, because reading this tells me that, oh man, you know, I just hope we have learned something. That we're not going to be like our ancestors, that we're better than that. We pray and ask forgiveness for their sins. They fall short. They fell short, but we're not going to fall short, because this is a different time. This is our time. And this is the day that the Most High made for us to come together, to get it together, to understand who we are, and just that. That's all he wants us to do, is to recognize who he is. But if we don't watch ourselves, we start doing everything that we're doing and trying to whatever, we get ahead of ourselves and get the big head, like you know that we do. We get the big head.
Mm-hmm.
Overcompensate, mm-hmm. And when that happens, you just let Satan in a little bit, he's going to come in and take a whole lot. See, you know, he thought he was the big man on campus. But no, he don't want that. He just wants you to know who you are and who you are to him. But he wants you to treat your brothers like he would treat your brothers. He said the first and second commandment, just know who you are. What is wrong with that? Others know who the children of Israel is. There's nothing wrong with that. And our Christ will be in the midst of those two groups. His group, his chosen, and everyone else. And he will be in the midst. So just know. I'm going to mute myself, brother. Brother Rutter.
Hey.
I'm going to just mute myself right. and let you guys talk. But this was a good this was a good session.
Yes, man.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I know y'all probably don't feel what I feel, but hey, that's what it's all about, right?
No. You are right.
Yeah, I want to make another comment, if you don't mind.
Okay, brother. Right.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
But that's why, and that's why he said in the Book of Songs, he said, "Learn not the way of the heathen." See what I'm saying? And that's what Israel was doing. They was learning the ways of the Egyptians. They wanted to follow, follow their way instead of doing what the Most High tells them to do.
Yeah.
You know. So that's why a lot of our people are lost because they're trusting in not in Egypt, but they're trusting in the Europeans now. It's the same, it repeats itself, but it's just different players now. Now we're dealing with
players.
The Europeans.
Yeah. Same game, different players.
Yeah.
I like the way that sounds, brother. You're right about it. But don't forget, the Levites, they didn't fall under that spell.
Yeah, you said the Levites. Yeah, I read this scripture. You said the Levites. They were smarter. They didn't fall to the Egyptian trick. To the Egyptian trick.
Yeah.
But this is a good book.
Praise to the Most High. He's
yeah,
always got a
right
ram in the bush. He got a way out. Which goes to just say, brothers, no matter what this world throw at us, the Most High is going to have that ram in the bush that's going to come through when he chooses for them to come through. That's all I'm saying. And this is just one of those times, and this is the reason why we're here today. I'm sure if the Levites hadn't did what they did during that time, we'd still be in the dark now, because that's what they was trying to keep them from knowing who they were back then. Goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. To Phil, Brother Ronald.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it all up, man, and I guess it'll be Thursday when we have our next book reading, and we're going to start by picking it up in chapter 73.
Okay, brother, I'm going to put a note right there. Okay, well, shalom to both your brothers. I wish you a blessed week, and to all of our families and everyone that's listening, have a blessed week, and do your research.
Shalom, shalom.
All right. Shalom, y'all. All right, y'all. I guess I'll go ahead and play a song. I'll play Signs of the Times. Yeah, I'm going to end it with that song there. Y'all have a good one. Shalom, shalom.
Signs of the times, revelations open your mind. Hear the trumpets blowing. Shalom to my Akhenaten. Be at peace. We gon' soon be set free. Hey, told the Abba, all my doctors. If I be, then my soul prosper. Strength in my posture, deliver me from wicked imposters.
Yep.
Put my body under subjection, that's carnal lockup. Tend to the soil, good seeds that should have blossomed.
Really.
Nourish it with water from Abba, he sees the outcome.
True.
Pay no mind to the foolish, they playing possum. Put away childish behavior, come off colostrum.
Damn.
Flee from the lust of the flesh, remember Sodom. Pay no mind to commandments, that's rock bottom. Generation lost, my Abba restored your value. Take heed, the earth moves on with or without you. Vanity belongs on them hills, what it amounts to. My people touching all four corners, we coming out soon.
Really?
Store up good works towards them, he would announce you. Babylon is falling, young Aki, just look around you.
Hey,
you can see the signs of the times. Revelations open your mind, you hear the trumpets blowing. Shalom to my Aki, I can see. Be at peace, we gon' soon be set free.
Hey,
you can see the signs of the times. Revelations open your mind, you hear the trumpets blowing. Shalom to my Aki, I can see. Be at peace, we gon' soon be set free.
See, when you gird it with spiritual armor, you know that the battles are far from within. To keep those things
from coming to the surface with just reflection. I read, hey, peace, love, and light. I speak that in the spiritual, manifest in the physical. Insight, biblical, salvation is critical. Can't believe in God, not his word is hypocritical. Don't let the devil get to you, don't accept what he offer you. He gon' try to purchase you, but let him know he treasure stored in heaven, get behind you. He know who's beside you, the gates of heaven open, and I just want you to walk through. Self-evaluation is a must. Plus, you gotta fight the demons and the lust. Plus, we at the end time, don't fall now. At first you didn't know, but now you know now. In the book of life, I hope it ain't written. Trying to do what I gotta do to get it. The hell with this world, I do not visit. Gotta watch myself, can't keep slipping. In the book of life, I hope it ain't written. Trying to do what I gotta do to get it. The hell with this world, I do not visit. Gotta watch myself, can't keep slipping.
You can see the signs of the times. Revelations open your mind. You hear the trumpets blowing. Shalom to my heart.
I know we need to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that proving of your belief work is endurance. Hallelujah.
Forgive me, Abba Yahuwah, my ways were reckless.
Yeah.
Shameful before you, my praise is a broken record.
Dang.
Repent for my sins, inequity, transgression. Selfish and ways of a man hinder his blessings.
Truly.
Figure through the lessons we learn to give him reverence. Speak to myself in a process-related message.
Yeah.
Looking at the youth and it seems like they got a death wish.
Yeah.
Pray for your humble and Aki to give you leverage.
Leverage.
And so we press on, I move into greater cause. Count on his laws, instructions, and break your fault.
Yep.
Birth pain, similar woman with menopause.
Dang.
Matthew 24:8 explains it all.
Really.
None of all gone, but so clean, don't make me start. Search me, I've refined my inner parts, yes. Blindfolded faces like a shot in the dark. Re-second answer is homie to get your spark.
True.
And I hope this introduction will cause you to switch lanes. Enmity with Abba is mutual exchange.
Yes.
So I pray for my people you call to maintain. Obedience to your Abba will earn you his latter reign.
And
you can see the signs of the times. Revelations open your mind.
You hear the trumpets blowing.
Shalom.